You are tuned to KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:02 a.m. and you are tuned to the coffee table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Aid in response to COVID-19 is the topic today, and telephonically participating is Mike Ilg. Mike Ilg, do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for joining us. And there are five or six people who are scheduled to possibly call in this morning. And I just want to point that out because, first of all, Mike, if you would turn your radio down so you're not getting a repeat.
I don't have my radio on. But
wonder
I can,
where I'm hearing that from.
Let me try something else. Hold
okay.
on.
Okay. All right. If we get cut off, just call us back.
Is that better?
That is better. Thanks. Is that okay for you?
Yep.
Okay. And the reason why everyone is participating telephonically is that, just like the city recommends, we are all doing our best to model good behavior here. So thank you, Mike, for calling in.
You bet.
And the first thing I want to do is, most people know you as the guy from Homer Community Schools. So you are well accustomed to organizing for the city, but you've been tapped to head up their COVID-19 aid and response organization. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. I am the I do work as the recreation manager for community schools or community recreation, but my efforts as part of the city's EOC, Emergency Operating Command, is coordinating volunteers and some resources for responding to COVID-19. And so this is truly a collaborative effort with many people in the city and, of course, our service providers and community volunteers.
The one thing I want to immediately point everyone to is the City of Homer -ak.gov homepage. City of Homer homepage has a button that you click on, COVID-19 updates. And on that page, there are many, many opportunities to contribute, to learn more. There's information for travelers. There's local closure updates. There's a situation overview. But the ones we're going to focus on today are two buttons on the City of Homer's COVID-19 page. One of them, local resources and help needed. And the other, donations and volunteering. And those are primarily what you're working with. Is that correct, Mike?
Mostly donations and volunteers, but we're also making the connections for ensuring community members know where to go to get the local resources and help that they need.
So let's just start right off the bat with, I have an interview from yesterday afternoon with Lieutenant Dave Jimenez from the Salvation Army about what the Salvation Army is providing right now and how a person can get on their list for delivery of food or for rental and utility assistance. And so after, I'm going to play that, and then after it plays, maybe you and I, Mike Ilg, can have a conversation about some of the other ways that people can access aid.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay, well, here is Lieutenant Dave.
Hello.
Oh, hello again. You are Lieutenant Dave Jimenez. So I wanted to ask you a few questions so you could tell people how to access food and relief.
Some of our efforts are the same as always, which is our monthly food box per household, and that takes place on Mondays from 2 to 4 p.m. at our church facility on Sterling Highway, 1468 Sterling Highway, up the road as if you're heading out of town. And we're doing what we've done to combat this whole thing is to change from a walk-in to a drive-through, and so it's we've been putting it into practice the past 2 weeks. So we kind of have a rhythm. And we want to encourage people to stay home as well. So we've also added the availability to be have those goods delivered to your house. We would prefer if you would call in advance to schedule a delivery. And that would be towards the my number here, 310-990-3455, to schedule for that monthly food box. In addition to this, we've also seen that there's a great need for those that are trying to get their groceries, avoiding the crowds, avoiding getting out there. So we've also are connecting with the grocery stores to be a group that can deliver groceries. So that number, to schedule that with us, it's another number, area code 310-803-0588. And we can have your groceries delivered to your door.
And that's from Safeway. 310-803-0588 is for Safeway. This is why I have so many questions about this. Organizing this and being able to follow up and being able to keep people separate is pretty complex. So thank you for the work. How do you select volunteers to do the deliveries? Because the city was telling me they're having trouble because, you know, everybody has to be vetted and they have to have a background check.
All of our volunteers in the Salvation Army receive a background check. For those that have gone through our doors and have volunteered with us, they understand that they have to go through that application process. We also have our staff from our thrift store that, due to the fact that our thrift store is shut down to the public, we are still using them, and just having them, those that are vetted to drive, are going to be also delivering these groceries as well. We have the staff. And we have the vehicles.
Then how do you guys follow up? Well, you have to keep records, right, to make sure everybody who's seeking services gets the attention they need. That's my big fear, is people are going to fall through the cracks. So I'm always thinking about that before I close the book on the day, you know?
Of course. Well, we record all the services that we give. And so when someone does call the Safeway, they're going to go ahead and call, give them their information, and let them know that they're paying for it. Safeway would then get in contact with us, someone that would deliver, and then we would go and then get in contact with the person, be able to meet them with where they're at in their location, drop the item off, and then confirm we did that service. Those volunteers would relay back to us, where we're taking all the stats and information that they finished that transaction. We will call back Safeway and let them know that it's been completed, so that Safeway knows, the person that received the food will know, and then we, the ones recording for our own information, keeping track of our stats, are aware. So that's how we're working it out. This is a new thing, and as things develop, you know, if something is not working, we will do our best to change it to make it smoother, better, and correct.
And I see a lot of this information is available on the Salvation Army Homer Corps Facebook page, right?
Yes, that's where we are posting things on Facebook. That is one of the best ways to reach out to us. We see those. We're looking at everything that's going on. People are commenting back or sending us a message. Or they can call us through our phone that I gave there, 310-990-3455 for the monthly food box.
Right.
And for groceries, it's going to be 310-803-0588.
Well, I so thank you for your information, and I'll package this up and we'll put it on the air when we're talking about what services are available. What about the Rental Utility Assistance Fund?
Yes. So we're still assisting folks with utilities and with rental assistance and with gas and propane, those simple things like just getting gas for my car, running out of fuel, that kind of thing. We can work with each household. So if someone is in need of that, they can call our 310-803-0588 number.
Got that one.
And schedule an appointment over the phone and take down your information. And if it is a physical thing where you need to get the gas, we can meet with you there in the open air and keep our distance, of course, and we can help you.
Well, that's thanks to Dave Jimenez. Lieutenant David Jimenez from the Salvation Army in Homer. And just to repeat those numbers, and they will be on our website when we post the coffee table this afternoon, the Salvation Army box delivery, if you want to get your food box delivered to your house. The number is 310-990-3455. For rent utility assistance and to register for a food box, the number is 310-803-0588. At Save You More, if you want to call and do their bush orders, I'm reading that their bush orders are they're pretty far behind right now. They're about a week out from being able to complete them. But that number is 235-8661. It might take a few days, but they'll get your groceries to you. And Safeway is 226-1000. So Mike Ilg from the city of Homer, one of the big things that we're all trying to figure out right now is how do these deliveries get made? Because of the people volunteering, they need to quarantine as well. And people need to be vetted before they can show up at your house.
Yeah, and I'm glad you played the interview from Salvation Army, because myself, we've been contacting them regularly and coordinating specifically for delivering those in need. As he mentioned before, they have a Facebook site for information and conversation, and a lot of things are happening there. But there could be a demographic of vulnerable population of people who aren't on that platform or may not have internet or whatnot. So as far as volunteers, we at City have been receiving a lot of, you know, how great Homer is, people wanting to step up and help and say, I'll help deliver groceries. So basically, we are just forwarding their names and number to the Salvation Army. They are the go-to contact for delivering items for those people in need. So Salvation Army does have a process of some training and a background check as well to ensure that these people who are going to help, they are vetted.
And they also have vehicles to use for delivery, because I know that cab service has been reduced. Fewer drivers are on the road. There are hours in the evening when there are no cabs available. So transportation is another huge issue that we need to figure out.
For sure. And I'll comment more on that, too. I've also talked to another potential service providers, Church on the Rock. We brainstormed some ideas of possible delivery vouchers. I don't know where they are with that.
Well, Mike, you know, Church on the Rock is on the line. Aaron Weiser, are you there?
I am here. Good morning, Kathleen.
Thank you so much for joining the conversation. I so appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you talk a bit about one of the main things I want to hear from you today is about the immediate assistance. You have started a fund that can really help people right now in terms of food and bills. Is that right?
That's correct. So Church on the Rock last week, I think it was on Friday, launched an immediate relief fund with $25,000 with the target of raising another $75,000. We're right at about $50,000 right now, and we mobilize a task force of 8 members who kind of represent different segments of our community to have conversations with some of our frontline relief organizations here in the community to see where the needs were. And what we're doing as quickly as possible is trying to mobilize some funds. One of the main areas is just simply bolstering the supply of some of our organizations here in the community that do provide different types of relief and aid, including food relief, including utility assistance. And then the second thing is we're working on putting together a packet for individuals who we're calling underemployed as a result of reduced hours. We know that there is an increased cash supply for unemployment right now, increased benefits, and yet for a number of people in our community, they're not necessarily terminated, but they've had hours so significantly reduced it's created some problems. And so we're putting together essentially a relief packet of gift cards for people who fall into that category. And what we're going to do is we're just now finalizing, so we've been trying to move as rapidly as we can. We're just now finalizing the plan for disbursement for the funds that we've already had come in. And again, I would point, just like some of the, like with Salvation Army, I would point people to our Facebook page. That's probably the most reliable way to get immediate updates. So I'm hoping to have that going here in the next 24 to 48 hours as far as making those funds available. A lot of it will be through the organizations that we're partnering with. So, like, for example, we're going to be bolstering the supply for the food pantry. But the complete list and how to get a hold of that relief will be posted here shortly.
And that will be on the Church on the Rock Facebook page, or is there a separate page for the hashtag I Love Homer Fund?
So right now, the best thing to do would be to check in on the Church on the Rock Homer Facebook page, and then we have set up a temporary website for the I Love Homer Fund. We'll have that live here shortly, and then when we do have it live, again, probably the best way to find it is to go to the Church on the Rock Homer page, and we'll have updates pinned to the top of the page, the most current update, so that people can find information there and then see what's available.
Okay, thanks so much. Now, before when you were called in, Mike Ilg and I were discussing the problem with transportation.
Correct, yeah.
And
yeah, so one of the things that we're going to try to do, and I had a brief conversation with Dave over at Salvation Army, and again, a lot of this stuff is so fluid right now because there's a number of pieces of it that are a little bit of a riddle. But one of the things that we're trying to allocate funds for is cab reimbursements for grocery delivery. So we're going to continue working with them to try to arrange that. It is a little bit difficult, and I definitely have sympathy for the Salvation Army in trying to, on top of providing the relief that they're doing, processing new volunteers with background checks. That's a whole nother task in and of itself. So we'll support that in whatever way that we're able to as well. But like Mike said even earlier, at the top of the hour, I'm been really just impressed and delighted with the collaboration between a number of different community entities. And I think some of these problems, it's going to take a little bit of brainstorming, but I think we'll get them solved.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I want to remind everyone that, yeah, there's the Facebook page for Church on the Rock to access. Also, one place, because one of the big problems is finding that one place where all information can come and go.
Yeah.
And so the City of Homer has that page. And I want to give that web address again. It's cityofhomer-ak.gov. Then when you click on the COVID-19 button, you'll see all kinds of different things, one of which is local resources and help needed and donations and volunteering. And that's our wheelhouse today. So do you feel like there's anything that you need to get at, you want to get out to people right now that we've overlooked?
No, I think just keeping abreast of information. And I've had a number of people reach out just in the last day or two asking how they would get a hold of those funds. And again, we're moving as quickly as possible. And I would encourage people, if you're in a pinch and you need some assistance, we are moving as quickly as we can. Keep checking in, and we're trying to have a good plan for the disbursement of that relief, but we're also trying to get to that plan as quickly as possible so that we can step in. So yeah, just keep staying in tune. And I think I will probably try to check in with the city and see if we can get a link once we have that plan finalized. Get a link on the city page, even to the I Love Homer Fund.
Gotcha. Well, thanks so much, Pastor Aaron Weiser from Church on the Rock. Thank you for calling, and we'll get your information. We'll have all of the contacts that we collect today up when we post this coffee table and start sharing that information. But as much as I am committed to getting that information on our own website, I also want to encourage people to use the city's website, because the more people who use that, then the more people are on the same page, as it were.
Yeah. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks so much for calling.
Yep.
And Mike Ilg, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Well,
and I'd like to follow up with with Aaron Weiser. Thank you, Church on the Rock, for all that you're doing. I've been in touch with Aaron, and you can be reassured once his web link is ready to go, we will be posting that information service on the website.
Okay, thank you so much, Mike Ilg from the City of Homer. Mike Miller, the Executive Director of the Homer Foundation, is on the line, or at least I hope so. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. And how about you, Mike Ilg? Can you hear Mike Miller?
I sure can.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Mike Miller. Thanks for calling. I want to know, the Homer Foundation has established a fund. It is not an individual reimbursement fund, but it is a fund that will go out to, well, why don't you explain it?
Sure. Thank you. And thank you for having us on today. The Board of Trustees of the Foundation approved the COVID-19 Response Fund for the Homer Foundation. And what that fund will be doing is working directly with nonprofits who are serving folks and help them with extraordinary costs that have come about because of this COVID-19 pandemic. And that's any nonprofit doing basic services. Really between our service area stretches from Nanilchek all the way across the water to Manawalik. And if there are nonprofits experiencing those sort of extraordinary costs, additional food, additional supplies, additional cleaning supplies, you know, we are here to help them defray some of those costs. And so we put that out to our donors in the public as a place that, you know, if you don't know exactly where you want to donate, here's a place that folks can donate, and then we put that in a quick response grant. Actually, it's even faster, basically almost an immediate turnaround grant. So long as they're an eligible organization, eligible expenses, we're going to put that money straight out to as fast as we can.
And how do people access that? Will it be on the City of Homer's page?
We've not yet, but we could.
Okay, and so it'll be for now, it's at the Homer Foundation webpage?
Right. Yeah, people go to the homerfoundation.org webpage. They can also check us out on Facebook and check out our Facebook page and find a link to information and to how to donate there. And we surveyed our nonprofit partners across the community and, you know, found out what was going on, and I think you've heard some of that already, but you know, we know that food pantries are, you know, going through a lot of food, more than they would be. Senior centers are changing their models and having to do a lot of takeout food and more Meals on Wheels sort of delivery, if they're even still doing some service. So because that's a real vulnerable population, so they're hyper vigilant about cleanliness and passing on a virus. So yes, that's been a real big expense for a lot of our partners. Same way with Haven House. We spoke with them, and you know, they're hypervigilant about cleaning. It's a very tight environment, and everyone's super vigilant about making sure that this virus is the curve is flattened and doing every precaution they can. But there's an expense associated with that, and we want to help with that.
And one thing, we do have listeners that don't have internet. And so I want to make sure people know they can access the Homer Foundation webpage on the internet. But if you are looking for a landline number, the number for the Homer Foundation is 235-0541.
That's right.
Okay. And Mike Miller, do you feel like that's... Yeah, we're up to date, or is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's where we're at. You know, we're going to continue this posture for the next 60 to 90 days, and then the board will reassess and see if we need to keep going or if we need to, you know, pivot a little bit to support the nonprofits. You know, the nonprofit community in town is a multi-million dollar impact on the local economy, and a lot of the folks out there are really having to absorb a lot of costs, cancel fundraising events. Local pantry I talked to out in Anchor Point, you know, they they don't have very many fundraising events, and one was coming up, and you know, they had to cancel it. So all of a sudden, their budget has a huge hole in it. And that's really just atypical of what a lot of nonprofits are going through right now.
Okay. And can you give me a few examples of the nonprofits we're talking about in terms of your funding? So Haven House.
Haven House.
Independent Living Center?
They could be there. We do some business with them. They would definitely else. But anybody doing basic services like, you know, senior centers, food pantries, people doing sheltering, people doing you know, basic assistance sort of functions, you know, non-food assistance. Any of those nonprofits, Home or Food Pantry, obviously is a huge partner of ours. So those are our target for this particular season.
Okay, Mike Miller, Executive Director of the Homer Foundation. Thank you so much for your call.
And thanks for having us on.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Mike Ilg, I have a little, we have not yet talked about the Homer Community Food Pantry, and I have a little bit of information from them, about a minute and a half's worth. If you want to stand by and we'll run that?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay, here it goes.
Hi, this is Dennis Weidler, coordinator of the Homer Community Food Pantry, to bring you up to date on our services during the challenges of dealing with COVID-19. Yes, we are still providing food each Monday. The major difference is being that the service is now drive-through or walk-through or even taxi-through. All food items will be delivered to clients in front of the Homer United Methodist Church. Another major difference is the time of service. We have expanded from 1 to 3 p.m. on Mondays to 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's 11:30 to 3. This, we hope, will eliminate any traffic backups. All non-food service will be drive-through as well. Clients should pull into a parking space on the west side of the Homer United Methodist Church and call 235-1968. A representative will meet with you at your vehicle. The food pantry has also begun food box delivery. If you need home delivery of an emergency food box or a senior box, call or text 235-1968 and we'll make arrangements. The food pantry will continue to receive donations of canned foods and dry goods like pasta, rice, or beans. But please take all non-food items to the Homer Thrift Store, the Salvation Army Store, or the recycling area at the landfill. To support the Homer Food Pantry financially, simply go to homerfoodpantry.org and click on the Donate button on the homepage. Thanks to the City of Homer, as well as the Homer Foundation, and our many generous supporters who partner with us to meet the needs of our community.
That's Dennis Weidler. Thank you, Dennis Weidler, from the Homer Community Food Pantry, who made up that information packet for KBBI and for the City of Homer. Mike Ilg, I believe I have Brad Anderson, the Executive Director of the Homer Chamber of Commerce, on the line. Are you there?
Hi, Kathleen and Mike. Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. I've been reading about a service that the Chamber is developing for businesses that are still able to produce and want to deliver. Have I got that right, Brad Anderson?
Well, basically what it is, we've had a few of our members call in, and one is, you know, now that they're closed and they really can't be open to the public, and some of these are in the kind of the healthcare field, but they just can't, you know, they're not open to the public generally right now, and they just want to be more productive during this time where they know the needs are out there, and they basically can't, you know, be operating. So how can they provide their services and lend a hand to help out those? So they've been reached out. People are reaching out and see, can we help deliver groceries? And so something like that would help limit the amount of people that are coming into town going shopping. So if they could be of service and coordinating with some of our grocery stores to make those deliveries, that's kind of what started an inquiry from our side to see if maybe we can't put together a little delivery network and try to help out people in those situations, and also to try to keep more people at home if possible.
Have you been in contact with Mike Ilg and with the City of Homer to coordinate?
I've been with the city, with the mayor a little bit, and Rachel. Haven't talked to Mike yet, but we do want to coordinate this with the city, and certainly don't want to duplicate efforts. So I know they have a great volunteer form that they have on their new page, and that's probably something we will, you know, refer people to first to fill that out And then in any way we can help try to coordinate and working with our members and the businesses here in the Homer community to offer these services, we'll coordinate that with them. So, again, we just want to make it easier for both, for the response to the residents on how they receive it and also try to coordinate the efforts among our members here at the Chamber to help out.
And is there, do you have... are you providing support of any kind, like to the businesses that are members of the chamber? How are you sharing information with them? How are you reaching out to your businesses? Because so many of them are closed right now.
Well, one of the things that we are, we started this Homer to Go Facebook page a couple weeks ago in response to some of the restaurants, especially that were having to shift some of their services, just takeout. So we wanted to provide a platform to showcase some of those delivery and takeout services, and then it started branching into other businesses and who provide some online ordering opportunities. And it just provided a platform that more businesses started sharing what's going on with theirs. And we have about almost 1,000 members on that page right now, and so it's become a good clearinghouse for some of this information. So that is one piece where we've been posting updates on different services, different opportunities, and we'll probably still communicate through that and then our chamber website for, what's going on this side and how people can connect. But again, we do want to try to coordinate most of our efforts with the city, and so we're not, over duplicating things here with folks.
Well, Brad Anderson, Executive Director of the Homer Chamber of Commerce, thank you for calling. Have we overlooked anything?
No, the only other thing that has come up, a few people have been asking about our Homer Bucks program, and that is an opportunity where it's basically like a gift certificate that's usable for any of our retailers that participate in this. And we have, I think, about 30 different Homer area retailers that use the Homer Bucks program. So if someone was wanting to look on how they can help people and donate something that, keep the dollars here local, but give them a chance to, provide some additional funding things, that's a program we're getting some inquiries on. So we'll provide more information about how that can be available. It's a little more complicated now that our offices are closed. But if anyone is interested in that, we can try to coordinate the use of those and how we get them to them if they just call the chamber office and leave a message.
And when you are ready to get that information out formally, feel free to call KBBI and we'll work something up as well.
You got it. If anyone wants to leave us, I'll just give you the main number for the chamber in case you want to leave a message there, and we'll respond to that as soon as we can get to those messages. That number is 235-7740.
Okay. Thank you, Brad Anderson.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. So, Mike Ilg, one of the things that keeps over the course of this 35 minutes so far, it's getting everybody has a different website. Everybody has a different Facebook page. Everybody, coordinating services seems to be the biggest challenge.
Correct. That's something that we're compiling at the moment. And we will envision this will all be up on the website very soon. And one of the things that we're very fortunate to have already in our community is, we have that MAP group, Mobilizing Action.
You're starting to cut out. Talk close to the mouthpiece.
Okay. Can you hear me better?
A little better.
Is that better?
Yes.
And so one of the things that MAP has provided, they have a link of all these resources that's on our website right now, but we are going to streamline it and make sure it's easily to read and get all that information for the community members. And as Brad said, we have not connected as far as the chamber's efforts with the city helping coordinate all these things. I did make an effort to email someone, and I haven't heard a response back. It just seems that everyone's been very busy trying to fill the gap. So we're very, very fortunate that they're stepping up and helping.
Well, thanks, Mike Ilg. I want to open up the phone lines if anyone has a question for Mike Ilg or questions about services that are available The number to call is 235-7721. You could call and someone is waiting to answer the phone, put you on hold, and send you into the air studio. That's 235-7721. And Jesse Felice, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Thank you so much for calling. Jesse Felice, you are part of the Green Dot organization, correct?
I am the Green Dot coordinator. Hold on.
Sure.
For Homer, and that entails the community and the school-based.
Well, this gives us an opportunity to talk a little bit about self-care and about how you might use the time that you're spending at home. What are Green Dot's goals right now? You must be having 100 meetings a day like everyone.
Yes, for sure. So I am a high school special education teacher as well, so my days are full as well as being a mom. But as far as Green Dot, I'm actually kind of excited to get out some virtual trainings this month, and it's April 1st. April is Green Dot Month. Where we really look to recognize positive things that we can do within the community and the school, and it's our time to really get people trained in the methods of Green Dot and just looking out for one another. And during this time, I mean, a lot of people think like, oh, like we don't have to worry about it right now, but I mean, we have people being in their homes and, you know, they claim that the rise of domestic violence and child abuse could be an epidemic right now. And so it's just being aware and touching base with our friends and family, especially those that we think might be in a situation that might not be safe. We no longer live in a world where we look at things and think, that's not my problem. It's not my business. You know, like my grandmother would tell me, if she knew the work I did, she'd be like, mind your own business. You know, we don't live in that world anymore. If we get that gut instinct that we know something's just not right around us, whether it's at the grocery store or something we see online or a weird phone call that we get, it's our place as human beings to do something about it. And Green Dot teaches these amazing strategies of, you know, delegating to somebody else, calling someone, getting someone else involved. And then distracting, you know, distracting on social media is easy. When somebody's posting something negative, post something positive. You know, just take that left turn. You don't even have to address the situation in the moment. Being direct, directly involving yourself with the person, you know, when I talk to high schoolers, being bullied or the bully themselves, directly involving yourself. And there's just so many different ideas and ways that people and kids especially come up with such creative ways to break down those barriers. And we all have them. And nobody's asking within Green Dot for you to change. If you're a shy person, we want you to stay a shy person. But knowing that you have that barrier and that you can't be direct, knowing that there's so many other things that you can try and do to keep your friends and your community safe.
Well, these are very special circumstances where we're all called upon to both keep to yourself and don't look the other way when you see something that's going on that needs attention. And so Green Dot is positioned to do all of those things.
Oh, for sure.
And have you scheduled your Green Dot online training?
Not yet. I was hoping, I was supposed to be a part of a phenomenal group this Saturday, which I think you were a part of. And so I was hoping to maybe try out my virtual training this week.
What is this thing happening on Saturday?
What's that?
What thing is happening on Saturday?
Oh, there was supposed to be some type of forum. I can't remember off the top of my head what it was.
I'll be looking for it.
But Green Dot was going to provide like a half day training.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So now I'm looking at next Friday being my go day.
Okay, so there are plenty of people out there who do have internet who could use this time to dive into Green Dot. And so I want to encourage anybody who's got the time and the inclination to do that. I am a Green Dotter myself and a big fan of your program, because there are 100 things you can do in any one situation. But the one thing you don't do is pretend it isn't happening. And that's a great lesson for COVID-19 right now.
Oh, it is, for sure. And so I'm happy to give people some information.
Yeah,
I do have a Facebook page. It's just Green Dot Homer. I welcome anyone and everyone to check that out. And like I said, it's Green Dot Month, so I'm going to be posting some random information and statistics and just things that people can do. And people are welcome to post green dots that they've done, ways that they've stepped in, or somebody has stepped in for them. And maybe throw out, like, I saw this situation, I didn't know what to do, what could I have done? And just really get those conversations going. Because that's how, you know, when I do my trainings, yeah, I get the information out, but the most valuable thing that comes out of it is people saying, you know what, I was in this situation, I didn't know what to do. And then learning from that and knowing that even though they weren't friends with the people, they had no idea what they who they were, they could have done something. Cool. And so we really gear it towards the population that we're working with. Green Dot's come a long way since it's 8 years that it came to Homer. And I tailor every training to my population. And this last year, we were able to get out to a couple of the Old Believer Russian schools for our first time ever. And that was eye-opening and amazing. And just, they're still reaching out and they're still putting the practices in. And it's just great to hear.
Well, thank you for calling in for some stay-at-home outreach. That's Jesse Felice, from the coordinator for Homer Green Dot. And you can access her information at the Homer Green Dot Homer Facebook page, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks for calling, Jesse.
Thank you.
So, Mike Ilg, are you still there? Thanks for hanging on the line.
Yes, I am, and I was hoping if there's an opportunity that I could share a couple things as well.
Go for it.
Okay, and just as a reminder to the general public, we do have a list of current resources that are available. And when you go to the City of Homer website, there's a link you can see right away, COVID-19. Click on that, and it will take you to frequent asked questions, local resources, help needed, donations and volunteers, the latest news from the situation overview. And just reminding the public as a whole that the City of Homer is taking extensive and proactive actions to prevent the spread of the coronavirus in our community. And we want to ensure the safety and health of everyone. So with that, we would be remiss not to remind people, continue to practice social distance. Continue to wash your hands frequently. Try not to touch your face if you've been out and about. All these things that are so crucial, so that the efforts that we're doing now is it will be helpful to ensure that we have less people getting sick. And I also, on this website, there's this opportunity to help. If you are a service provider, entity, a nonprofit, or a business that would like to donate supplies, PPE equipment, volunteer efforts, please go to this website, find out how you can submit that information. We are creating what I would call a virtual warehouse. So if we know where things are, who to call, when, and if we need to contact them, get them.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Paul Seaton is on the line. Do you read, Paul?
Yeah, can you hear me, Kathleen?
Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Hey, I just wanted to point out that, you know, one of the things we can do to help is this morning on KBBI News, they were talking to Dr. Ali Macaba, I think was the name. And anyway, they said, should people wear masks, everybody? And he said, well, we're trying to preserve masks for medical use. That was N95. But everybody should wear a scarf when outside. And so we have a number of people locally that are creating masks, or the CDC recommends wearing a bandana. And so those things are enhancing the social distancing. And I just wanted everybody to realize that social distancing is so that as we talk or cough or sneeze or do anything in public, those droplets that come out will fall to the ground or to a surface instead of going over to a person that's 6 feet away. But that's the second way of which this is transmitted. And now that we're finding that so many people are, you know, for 5 to up to 14 days after they've been exposed, can be shedding the viruses and not even know that they are infected. The only way we're going to get 100% of people that are shedding viruses is if everybody wears masks when they're in public. So just wanted to make sure that everybody's watching the news and saying that, you know, you can see whether it's China or Singapore or South Korea, the people that have got this kind of under control, you see 100% mask usage. Now, it doesn't have to be that kind of mask, but a cloth mask that'll absorb those droplets and keep them from spreading in stores and those kind of things are really important. And so there's a number of things online. HomerRotary.org has one, and there's a whole bunch online, but there's two different kinds of masks. One that is for medical use to prevent that medical person or first responder from inhaling very tiny virus particles and getting infected, and the community-grade mask to keep the people from spreading by stopping those droplets. And remember, soap and water is what you wash your hands to kill those, and so if you just come, every time you come in, wash your mask while you're washing your hands.
You got to wash that mask every day. We are in some. We're in a good position to take this on. The Alaska and Homer is filled with seamstresses. The pattern is easy. I have two already that a friend made for me. You have to remember to wash them every day. And then the other thing is, you were talking about how then the droplets then go onto surfaces or the floor. It's another thing we tend to do around here is take our shoes off before we go in the house. Getting those outside clothes, keeping those outside clothes outside and out of your house is also another thing that people can do.
Yeah, and I think that the state is probably, because I heard Annie Zink on the radio this morning too, saying that people are pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic, and you got to remember that they're saying that either 80% to 100% of people in the same household are all going to get infected from one person. But there's many of those people that are going to be asymptomatic. And so those are the people that are going out shopping because they appear to be healthy. And so we really need people in all the stores and when they're out in public holding in those and then washing them, killing the virus when they come in. And, you know, anyway, well, I just hope that everything will go forward that way.
I've got a caller. I've got two callers backed up on the line, so I want to thank you for your call, Paul Seaton.
Yep. Bye-bye. Okay.
And Bjorn Olson, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're a little, you're kind of, sound like you're down a well, if you can speak closely. So, Bjorn, you've been out there in scuba gear making deliveries for people, and we're not really here to promote your forays out on Mondays, but I do want to hear about what you're doing in hopes of encouraging others to volunteer.
Sure. When I was actually kind of almost got stranded in Nome when this, you know, was getting very serious, and so when we did finally get home, we felt very relieved because we had quite a bit of food in our freezers and felt like we were in a pretty good place personally, my partner and I, to weather this. And so I just kind of started thinking about, you know, what could I do to, you know, help out, and rummaging through the myriad of, you know, crazy things that I own, I put together a kit which consists of my dry suit, a heavy-duty rain jacket with a hood, a dual cartridge respirator, goggles, and wrist tie, rubber gloves. And so what I realized is that, you know, I feel like that is a pretty safe setup. It's a crazy-looking Darth Vader setup, but I can wear that and feel fairly confident to go out and not either contract or, you know, transmit the virus. And so, therefore, I put out, an offer to some of my older friends, people that are, you know, that I know that feel immunologically vulnerable, that don't want to risk exposure. And so I made myself available every Monday to go shopping. And so I've got people that send me their list on Sunday night, and then I go do the shopping for them. Yeah. And my protocol is real simple. You know, I put on that, you know, gear. I've got my shopping list together. I've got their cards. And then out in the parking lot, I'll put all of that, you know, protective barrier on. And then I go shopping with it on. And then when I come back, I put it into a tote outside in the parking lot before I get back in my car. And then just this last Monday, I was gifted. I had some antiseptic stuff that I was using, but Susan Arsenault from Alaska Skin gave me some really nice antiseptic spritzer. And so I spritzed everything down first, and then I put it in the tote outside my car. Then I put that, you know, close the lid of the tote, and then I deliver the groceries.
So this brings me to something that Pastor Aaron Weiser had suggested earlier when we spoke before the show started, which is that there are lots of people who, it's organizing volunteers and making sure that they are followed up on and things get done. It's quite an undertaking, but one thing that a person can do, which is what you have done, is check in on your neighbors. Make sure the people you know around you who might be vulnerable have the support they need and offer that support.
That's absolutely right. I mean, that, you know, to me, you know, this is a kind of a personal story I'm going to tell, but I was on a lot of committees and a lot of boards, a lot of working groups kind of before COVID-19, you know, like really became a pandemic. And now I've kind of like been able to rein some of that in. And I really felt like I didn't want to join another committee to talk about how to do something. I just wanted to do something. It's like direct action. Right. And a strong philosophy of mine is mutual aid. And so I feel like this is a very easy thing for me personally. But yes, this is exactly what the message that I would like to share is that, you know, just check on your neighbors, you know, give them a call. Do you need your wood chopped? Can I shovel? Do you have drainage issues going on now that spring breakup is happening? You know, there's a million things we can do for one another while maintaining that social distancing. And even if it doesn't, you know, even if it doesn't relate it, or, you know, translate into an actual task, it's that reaching out that makes people feel less alone and less vulnerable.
Well, thank you, Bjorn Olsen, because it's about time for us to wrap up. I know that one place where people who want to help can hook up is a Facebook page called Homer Helpers. So I can recommend that people go to that page if they're interested in suiting up and helping their neighbors. And Bjorn Olsen, thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks so much for doing all their parts.
You got it. Mike Ilg, we have come to the end, and there are so many things that I want to recap. But first and foremost is your work with the City of Homer. People can access an amazing amount of information at cityofhomer-ak.gov, or just plug the words City of Homer into your favorite search engine, and that's going to give you an enormous amount of information on the COVID-19 page.
That is correct. And I'll remind the general public, the city is working very hard to work with citizens, businesses, nonprofits. So the more we all work together on a unified front, the better off we're going to be. So I appreciate everyone's patience and understanding as we go forward and take care of each other.
Well, I sure appreciate your patience, Mike Ilg, for hanging on the line for a full hour. Thank you for providing all this information and giving us that center that we can always return to at the City of Homer page. And is there anything else that you've got on your list to get out today?
Social distancing, wash your hands, and take care of yourself and your family and friends.
Well, thank you, Mike Ilg. Thank you for being on the coffee table.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, on your way.
Yep.
Bye-bye. And that is the coffee table for this Wednesday, April 1st. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks to all our guests, Mike Ilg from the city of Homer, Pastor Aaron Weiser from Church on the Rock, Lieutenant Dave from the Salvation Army, Lieutenant David Jimenez, Mike Miller, Executive Director of the Homer Foundation, Brad Anderson from the Homer Chamber of Commerce, Jesse Felice, the coordinator for Green Dot Homer, Bjorn Olson, and Paul Seaton.